Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guests to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Hello and welcome back to the Mission Accepted podcast. We are so favored that you're with us today. We thank you so much. You are an amazing, amazing audience. And today, you know what? You guys are fantastic. And what I know that you are going to feel after today's show is you are going to feel hopeful. You're going to feel good about yourself. You're going to feel good about the world. There are some good people doing some good things. And everything has a silver lining. Everything has a silver lining. So if you're going through something right now, we just want to let you know that we got you. We want you to sit back. We want you to enjoy the show. And we're so grateful that you're here. I'm very excited. There's an incredible woman who I had an opportunity to meet. I know that you know that we were at the Oscars gifting suite and we were giving out the most incredible, you know about our book by now, Mission Accepted, 262 Women, Entrepreneurs, Entrepreneurs, Creatives, and Media, Rocking Legacy and Telling All. And what does that mean, rocking legacy? That means that the things that we are going through in our life or have gone through in our life, let's face it, there's things that happen, and to be able to leave some legacy, to be able to have a mission around something that's important to you and sharing it with others, not always easy, not always easy. And we know that there's things that we've gone through in our life and you're like, I'm going to share this experience because if it changes one person's life, that matters. And honestly, we've all had it. We've all read a book or seen a story or watched a podcast and you're like, wow, what they said really made a difference. And so I'm going to introduce you to an incredible woman. Her name is Joni Miller, and her partner, Jeremy Miller, were at the Oscars gifting suite. Now, if you're a Charlie Brown fan, you'll love that. He is the voice of Linus. And some of you, depending on how old you are, probably would remember him in Growing Pains. Anyways, they were there and we were having a great conversation and we were gifting out this book and talking about the message behind Mission Accepted. And that this was a book of gumptious women that were willing to tell their story so that it would inspire, it would educate, it would motivate women all around the world that read their stories. And so me and Joni got into a great conversation about some of the things that she's experienced, some of the things that she's observed in life, and why it's really important for her to share when she can, if she can, about something close to her heart. Because she doesn't want anyone to feel alone. She wants people to know that there's hope out there in the world. And so I'm really excited to introduce you to an incredible human. Like there's just good humans doing good things. Joni, welcome to the Mission Accepted show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So it was a pleasure to meet you at the event. And I always say, you know, some of the best parties end up in the kitchen. And what I mean by that is, you know, when you're at someone's house or you're at an event and you see these people kind of huddled off in the corner, usually it's two women kind of, and you can see that their intent in conversation, you know, that they've found some common ground and you just have these great conversations and they feel like meant to be, you know, you feel like, man, I was really meant to meet you. And that's kind of how it felt for me when I met you and we started having a conversation about empowering women and some of the things that women have gone through. And I mean, you know, the world has gone through, but we were talking specifically about women because that's what the book's about. And you were kind of sharing some things about yourself and what's important. So if you'd like, you know, I'll kind of hand the microphone over to you on what it is about not feeling alone and having hope and completely having a different life that you have now than you did before that maybe you want to enlighten us on.
Well, I was really drawn to you when you were telling us about your book and everything. I just, it really touched my heart. And I felt I need to put my story out there more because I feel there's so many women out there that, I was in a domestic violence situation and I feel like there's so many women that feel so alone and they feel they're the only one going through this, and how could anybody possibly be going through what they are? And I just want as many people as I can tell. I mean, it's really hard for me because this is the first time I've really opened up about this, film on film. But I don't want anybody to go through a situation like my best friend did. She's one of my best friends, and I didn't even realize that she was in a domestic violence situation like I was. I just thought, well, nobody could possibly be in a situation like I was. There's no way. But she was going to leave her husband, and the day before she was going to leave him, she was found gunshot to the head naked in the bathroom. And that really tore me up so much because I felt like I should have talked to her more about it, which is why I want to talk about it more, let others know you're not alone.
I think that you've really nailed it, that even though we are in a time and era where domestic violence is talked about, there's people that have organizations all about it. There was times where people didn't talk about it. It didn't exist. What happened in the home was, what happened in the home. And
Right.
I still think that there's more resources now, but there is something very much about when you're going through something like that, that there's like shame attached or somehow, and I think it's part of, I want to say part of the disease or part of the manipulation or part of how it happens in the first place is the manipulation or the domestic violence of the mind and making people feel like they're crazy and or scared to
Exactly.
tell other people, which is a very isolating experience. So when you talk about wanting people to let them know that they're not alone, it's not just about you're not alone, hey, let me help you. It's just that, there's still the numbers of domestic violence are still quite shockingly high.
That's true. A lot of domestic violence, especially women, they feel like they're not going to be believed. Their spouses make them feel like they are crazy, and that didn't really happen. Even when I left my ex, my mom was going to throw me and my kids out so I would have to go back to him because she didn't believe me. So, even though there were resources out at that time, my parents being very religious and everything, it was like, you do what the husband says and that's it. But it doesn't have to be that way. And
Yeah, well, it's like you said, when people first start talking about it, and I want to give you, hats off, balloons, whatever it takes, bouquet of flowers, because I think some of the residual experiences once a woman, or if it was reversed and there was someone that was domestic violence, but once someone gets out of a situation like that, just because that situation stops, they're in a situation that's not violent anymore. I think the repercussions of being in an experience like that is still some of the aloneness in your mind. You still have to heal yourself, right? There's still trauma in the body. There's trauma in the mind. There was like, was I right? Maybe this. And then I think part of what domestic violence is about is sometimes making excuses for that person because you are so much in that not wanting it to be true, there's denial, or like you said, people in the because someone's been so good at hiding it, like you were in a domestic violence relationship, your friend was in a domestic violent relationship, you didn't even know she was in that kind of experience because people become so good at hiding what's really going on. So there's all that unwiring that one needs to happen. And then even talking about it like today, I'm so appreciative, and I'm sure so are so many people hearing this, because with the numbers still as high as they are, it's talking about it and being a little bit willing to be open and being seen that allows other people to go, okay, I can step out. I mean, it sounds very Hallmark, but we hear it to be true all the time. If she can do it, I can do it. If they can do it, I can do it. And it really does sometimes just take that one person to be the catalyst.
Right. And then, you know, there is a lot of healing you have to do once you leave, because it's, you know, basically you have to rewire your brain, because they have just drilled into you and drilled into you that you're worthless, you're nothing, you're ugly, you're disgusting, you know, nobody will ever want you. I'm the only one who will ever love you. And, you know, you put up with it. And, you know, one thing that helped me when I left, because, you know, like you said, you are so programmed. I wouldn't recommend doing this while you're with a person, because if they find the stuff, you know, you just, but once I left, I wrote down things that happened, and, you know, just so that when I started feeling like, did that really happen? You know, am I really crazy? Like he's saying, you can go back to those notes and you're like, no, that happened. It happened. And, you know, and that was huge for me.
Yeah. I think whatever someone needs to do, there's all sorts of different things. And I know, like, being afraid to write things down would be something on their phone. You know, another thing that can be scary for someone that's still in that experience.
Right.
Did you eventually find people that were able to believe you and have conversation and be able to work that through with you? Like, how did you get to the place where you are today a little bit to be able to talk about it? And oh my gosh, we'll talk about it later in the show. The career that you do that is all about love. I mean, what you do is so about love, but anyways, we'll talk about that in a little bit. What did you do to kind of help yourself?
So, when my mom wasn't believing me and she literally was going to kick us out, my dad put his foot down. He's like, no, I believe her. And also my cousins and my brother saw some of the stuff that was going on, because we had gone on a trip. And so they saw a little bit of it, and, you know, they stood up for me, which none of my family knew anything before that time.
Mm.
So it was reassuring to know, okay, I'm not crazy. This is not a normal relationship. This is bad. This is narcissistic, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It is domestic violence, you know. So that was kind of embarrassing and hard for me at the same time, because I didn't want anybody to know I was dealing with that either.
Yeah. It's so interesting how the mind works like that. And that's a very common theme. So you have, I know that it's not easy about what happened to someone that was so dear in your life that was experiencing the same thing. But when you talk about how you try to keep it to yourself, that was something that she did as well. I mean, and then you talked a little bit about what it's like to be on the other side of it. So it's not happening to you. But then when you find out that it's been happening to someone that you love, one of the first things that I'm sure it's like, why didn't you tell me, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I did see little signs here and there. I just would have never dreamed it was as bad.
Mm-hmm. But... Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. If you were to kind of, I know that I said earlier that you're really a big advocate around sharing your message so that people know that they're not alone, and that there is hope. Before we go a little bit into more about kind of where life is now for you, is there anything that you want to share about your experiences with yourself or what happened with your girlfriend that you feel you want to tell our audience?
I mean, if I could give anybody an advice, you know, just know you're not alone. Other women are going through similar situations as yours. Find somebody that you trust, that you can reach out to, talk to them, see if you're not crazy because you're not crazy. And even though, you know, you feel like, oh, this is going to get so much worse if I do leave. Yes, it will for just a time, just a short time, but then you'll realize it's not, because I had three little kids when I left. And that was scary. That was so scary, because what am I going to do? You know, I have three kids here and I don't have any kind of schooling, because he wouldn't let me go to school. He wouldn't let me work. You know, he kept me in secluded so, you know, he could control the situation. And, you know, it's going to be hard, but you're going to be so much stronger and so much better. And your kids, you know, you don't see how that's hurting them as well, even though maybe they're not being touched in the same way you are. They are, and they need to see love and, you know, strength and, you know, security. And I just, you know, please talk to somebody, find somebody you can talk to.
Yeah. Find someone that you trust. Well, the word isn't congratulations. The word is, I'm so happy for you that you grabbed what piece of bravery that you had. I mean, I think it's a whole different definition of courage when you have those things going through your mind around what's going to happen and the kids and food and safety, and you're up against the programming, like you said. So you've got to somehow put that aside and be able to get yourself to safety and build a beautiful life, and a beautiful life you're living right now. And I think that that is so incredible. Now, you shared with me before the show what you do now, right? Because I met you in this dynamic of this, you know, celebrity event, and we were talking about empowerment, and we were kind of cornered there, and it's like the world didn't exist. And then you were sharing, and this is incredible, because I wish I knew you then. And you said you wish I knew you, you wish that you had somebody that did what you did. I never, even though my daughter is a specialist in 0 to 3, that's her specialty of childcare, I don't think we'd ever heard, because I would have hired you. You are a newborn baby specialist. And I was like, okay, well, that's fine. So she's a specialist, you know, could be around education. Please tell people what you do. Your phone's going to ring off like crazy.
So I'm a newborn specialist, and I'm what they call a seasoned newborn specialist, because I have X amount of years on my belt, you know. But what I do is, when the baby comes home from the hospital, I watch the baby at night so the parents can sleep. And I also do something that most newborn specialists do not do. I sleep condition babies. Now, sleep conditioning is very different than sleep training. It is not sleep training. This is sleep conditioning for newborns. And I don't know. I can't tell you how I do it, because I can just understand them. Mm-hmm. But once the baby's up to birth weight, when they start to wake up at night, I just put them back to sleep. And they're going to wake when they're hungry. And most of the times when babies wake up, you just automatically feed them, because you think, oh, they're hungry, that's why they woke up. No, they're not. Because we wake up multiple times a night, but we put ourselves back to sleep. We don't even realize it. And babies have not learned that yet. So that's what I do. I teach them early. And my average for babies sleeping all night has been 7 to 8 weeks with the parents working.
Oh, my goodness. We were talking before the show, and most of my show audience knows my children. My daughter did not sleep her first night through till she was 5. I told my doctor after that, I never want to have more children. I wanted to have 5 at one point. I don't want to have more children. There's no way. I even made an appointment to, like, I'm done, over, like, tie it up, do whatever you need to do, we're good to go. And he whispered something in my ear about, you know, maybe you want to have another baby one day. And it landed for me. I literally woke up the morning of my appointment and didn't go. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to have another baby. There's no way it could be that bad. My son didn't sleep till he was 8. right? He came home from the hospital. He nursed every 2 hours. He didn't nap. He never had a second nap. All the things. So I had two and only two. I'm calling you the baby whisperer. I think that's a great name for you, as a baby whisperer. As soon as you said I allow parents to sleep, I'm pretty sure I heard angels singing. Pretty sure. I was like, oh, right? Okay, I have to tell you, how did you end up being a newborn specialist? Like, was there a class on this? Like, did I miss the memo?
So I've been watching babies since I was 10 years old. I've always babysat, but I didn't start doing exclusively newborn until probably about 7 years ago. Before that, I started working with a company that does what I do, and then I started working with another company, and then I just kind of broke off on my own because I got so many referrals that I couldn't work for a company. I will here and there do referral companies, but most of them are just by word of mouth.
Well, I think that this is a hallelujah show. I mean, I never heard of it, and I think a lot of people haven't heard of it. I said to you before the show, I'm like, oh, your phone's gonna ring. Your phone's gonna ring. But thank goodness, thank goodness, because that sleepless stage for parents is tough. I mean, I know for us it affected so many things. Like it affected so
And
many things.
especially, well, I used to work in a children's hospital as well, and my aunt was head of neonate floor, so she would pull me to the preemies a lot, and I just fell in love with newborns. I love them to death, so I do get a lot of preemies as well.
Oh, well needed. Well needed. Oh my gosh. Congratulations on,
Thank you.
the life switch. And it's incredible. And thank you so much for sharing about that. And also, I know it's not easy to talk about, the loss of someone that you loved, but and I know you talked earlier about sometimes it's just brought up so many feelings for you, right? And I think no matter what, when someone passes from something that we think could be, whether it's someone takes their own life, someone has their life taken from them, there's always this, oh man, if I knew. And I think it's something that people do talk a lot about, whether it's survival guilt, whether it's I should have, I saw this, why didn't I ask more? And I think that's the unfortunate, one of those unfortunate residuals that happen when you have someone who has either one of those things happen. So to be able to turn your life around in the way that you have and starting to have a bit of conversation around advocacy, and you've had two different situations like that, I really think that it's quite commendable. And you're doing, I mean, honestly, you're doing great work in the world.
You.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Is there anything that you want to say before we kind of close off a little bit and wrap up our show today?
I can't think of anything, but I'm sure I will once we're off.
I know that's what happens. You're like, well, you know what? You're welcome back to Mission Accepted anytime. I think what you're doing is really great work. I know that you and Jeremy are traveling around now. I think you're saying that is Charlie Brown in an anniversary stage or something
It's
like
the
that?
75th anniversary this year,
Oh my
so he's been
goodness.
doing a lot of shows with some of the other voiceovers.
Wow. I mean, if that doesn't make anyone feel like they've aged a little bit, you're like, I think well, now I know why we all know who Charlie Brown is, because it goes back 75 years. How many people watched at least Charlie Brown's Christmas? And man, what a, it's interesting that, I mean, that's an incredible piece of legacy. It gave people joy. People have memories around it, and I'm sure that you and Jeremy are very busy traveling around.
It's been
Honestly.
fun.
Yeah. So look, I'm going to completely change the energy to the show, and I'm going to ask you a question that I ask my guests. You're like, okay, what is it? It's super fun. It's super fun. So you're packing, you have this suitcase, and you're going to be heading to a private island, just you and this private island. And you're going to be going for a while. So what song, what album, what singer, would you be packing in that suitcase to take with you on that trip that you couldn't imagine having this experience and not listening to this music for the rest of your days?
I'm kind of partial to the Eagles. I do love them. I don't know why, but Hotel California, from when I was a young kid with my uncle, he would be playing it loud in the car and we would just ride around. It's always been one of my favorites. I would go play pool, and I'm not a good pool player, but if the song was on, I could hit every ball in. So it's kind of like, I don't know, my good feel good song.
Your feel
So
good
I
song.
think I would have to choose the Eagles.
Oh my gosh, that's fantastic. I saw Don Henley in the south of England or south of Ireland one time. Hotel California. It's such a it's it well that's why it was so popular, right? It's good, it sounds good, it makes you feel good. From an instrumental standpoint, it's incredible. And you know what? If it helps you play pool that much better, then that's a good song. Oh my gosh. Joni, thank you so much for being our guest today. So
Thank you.
appreciate it. All right, I'm going to talk to you, the audience out there. So please share as we ask you to share this podcast. If you know someone that needs to listen to some of the stuff that we chatted about today, and how about we just leave it with, no matter what you're going through, you are not alone. There is hope for everything and anything. There's always a place to be heard and a place to be seen and a friend that's going to listen to you. So thank you so much for being our friend today. Thank you so much for being our listeners and our viewers. Thank you, Joni, for being on the show. And if you have something that you want to say, if you have a message, if you have a mission, if you have a passion, well, that's what the Mission Accepted is here for. Please just reach out to us and have that conversation about you sitting where Joni's sat today. And until we meet you again, which is going to be next week, you be well and you stay here to be.